What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 8th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Wow, it's already Wednesday? It's Wednesday. And we have a doubleheader today, so make sure those guys are in your lineup, including Jack Leiter. You did not go yesterday. That was Jose Urania and is going today instead. Six innings pitched, one earned run, four hits, one walk, and seven Ks. For who? Frankie Montas. He came back from the IL and threw 87 pitches, which is more than we normally see and expect from a guy like Montas coming back from the IL. But then again, you realize, right, it was from a comebacker and it wasn't your typical, oh no, my leg is hurt or my arm is hurt or something like that. It's just, I needed some rest after taking a massive contusion. He did well hosting the Arizona Diamondbacks in Sin City, otherwise known as the Cincinnati Reds Great American Small Park. Thank you, Casey Bubba. Look, Frankie Montas is throwing harder. His four-seamer was around like 94 in early parts of the season. It was 96, even topping out at 99 in this, which is great. But then you remember, wait a second, Frankie Montas doesn't really have a dominating four-seamer and sinker. You're right. It's a pitch that can get outs for him, but really only when he has his slider and his splitter, really one or the other, truly dominating. And that really wasn't it here. This was mostly just upper half four-seamers and sinkers doing all the damage. Not really something that I believe in for Frankie Montas long-term. Now, he does get the Giants in Oracle Park next, and I'm for that. That's a probable start for me just because it is a harder throwing Montas, and that should just be like six innings of whatever. That's fine. He's a Toby. That does mean, though, Tobys inside of Sin City are not good plays because you have a higher risk of home runs and not performing as well as you like. So don't really consider this as a major breakout for Frankie Montas. However, in the short term, sure, you can go stream him against the Giants in Oracle Park on Sunday. Patrick Sandoval, the Irish Panda, is doing it again. He got the gold star. That is the best performance from a guy we didn't really expect to do well. Well, maybe he shouldn't have gone. Maybe it should have been Trevor Williams, but I do not want to give him a gold star for anything. Yes, I know he got a win against the Orioles. Five innings of shutout ball, 77 pitches, eight strikeouts, zero walks, two hits. Fine, Trevor Williams. He did that on seven whiffs. And the new sweeper he's thrown is a 13% CSW with a 38% strike rate in this game. What? Look, Trevor Williams has a 196 ERA, and I feel as if the rule of never Trevor applies to everyone right now, yes, including even Trevor Rogers. I you know me, guys, I don't adhere to what Trevor Williams, how he acts as a human. And if you're unaware of what that is, then I suggest Googling it or just coming into the Pitchless chat. Not a fan of him, and I also, from an actual analysis standpoint, if I can remove myself from the person, it's very clear that he is not going to sustain the 196 ERA. Okay, so let's move on from him. Patrick Sandoval at Pittsburgh, 7 innings, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. 37% CSW for a King Cole. Look at that, Patrick Sandoval. And normally when I see him perform well, it's the slider and changeup both being located down as he removed fastballs from his arsenal. Now, under 30% fastballs is a very good thing. I'm all for that. He did have curveballs that actually were effective at the bottom of the zone and got some strikes. That's cool. We normally don't see that. Sliders and changeups, they were not down. They were scattered a bit, but they were in the zone enough that the Pirates were like, oh man, I don't know what to do with this. And normally when I see Patrick Sandoval stumble, or I guess if he's a panda, he rolls, he's missing east and west with his changeup. And also missing too far down with the slider, way too far up. This was more condensed inside the zone. It's good to see that. He does get the Royals next. I think we're just going to roll with that. Kyle Harrison at the Rockies. He did well, of course. 7 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. Got the win. Just 5 whiffs, 23% CSW. So, blame it on the Rockies here. I didn't really see anything new from Harrison outside the results that indicate he's anything different from before. So, if you want to give it a whirl against the Reds in Oracle Park, that's fine with me, because it is Oracle Park, but Kyle Harrison to me is still that cherry bomb. We have Zach Gallen, ace is going to ace in Cincinnati, 6 innings pitched, 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. Good to see it. It wasn't really the best located heater here, and I think he got away with one a bit, but we're just going to keep rolling with Zach Gallen. It feels like a lot of times he just gets away with it and still works, so whatever. Zach Eflin, 7 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Good to see him get through this with great ratios. Sadly, only 3 strikeouts, only 4 whiffs, 24% CSW, but you're going to see diminished CSW typically when you see 7 innings. Got the win, of course, against the Cry Sox. And he had just a ton of pitches down the middle that were just like should have been crushed, you know, curveballs and sinkers and curveballs that were just like there. Sorry, cutters rather. I said curveballs twice. You understand my point. I'm a little worried about Eflin moving forward. This actually would be a premier sell high, I think, for Eflin, as he's not squeezing everything out of his arsenal like he did last year. Christopher Sanchez against the Jays got the win. We had his changeup back at 39% CSW. He had a lot of called strikes on the sinker. I think 11 of them. He had 82% strike rate on his sliders, which is good. It's much better. I don't think he's fully back. I said he was way back, baby, in the roundup because it's just really fun to do that. And also, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're going to keep starting Christopher Sanchez. I should also mention the Jays are not a good offense right now. So Eric Smolski really highlighted that. And Bo Bichette, I just saw, I was like, so bad. I didn't realize how bad he was. My gosh. So maybe there's something to that. And I didn't see the pristine, unbelievable changeup, but we're in a good place with Christopher Sanchez. Luis Gil against the Astros, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 1 hit, 4 walks, 5 Ks. He didn't have the high strike rate on his changeup or slider. However, he did locate them down. That is, when it was erratic, it wasn't a scatter shot around the zone. It was no collected in the zone down and under the zone down, which allowed his four seamer to really cook inside the zone more so than usual. So I really like this, and I feel that his upper half four seamer location is as good as I've seen. So I'm really excited about this for Luis Gil. I'm also really excited about for Yoshinobu Yamamoto against the Marlins. He got the win. The first pitch of the game was a dead red fastball down the pipe, and Jazz Chisholm took that out. It was actually a really amazing moment on MLB Network. They're saying, oh my gosh, I can't remember his name all of a sudden. But he's saying, I think it's going to be a no-hitter. It's a no-hitter alert before the game started. In the first pitch, it's gone. It's amazing. But what's important is that Yamamoto finally went upstairs with his fastball. Oh my gosh. And he had 9 whiffs. 9 whiffs on 39 four-seamers. It's about dang time. 45% CSW. He went 8 innings doing this. I mean, yes, the Marlins, but come on, Yamamoto. You get it now, right? This is how you do it. You have Jose Ureña get the win against the Athletics. Sure, whatever. Birthday party. I mean, I can't believe it. It's just so funny. Every year we see this, like, random guys, like, oh yeah, I guess that guy shows up, and bam. Remember last year it was Julio Teheran? What the heck? Reynaldo Lopez against the Red Sox, 5.1 innings of 1 earned run, 6 hits, 4 walks, and 5 Ks. Honestly, not that beneficial of a start. So you got 5 strikeouts and a good ERA, but no win, and he got nearly a 2 whip out of this because his slider was not as consistent as you want. The curveball wasn't there. Four seamers really need to do all the work, and yeah, this is kind of a quiet Vargas rule where, like, we never really expected Raylo to be as good as he has been this season, right? It's something where we're just rolling with this because it's been working, and that's awesome. But Raylo this year has gotten you 2 wins, a 1.53 ERA, and a 1.13 whip with a 26% carry, but a 10% walk rate. And I don't expect him to be this dope moving forward. 89% left on base rate thus far is a pretty obvious indicator of, like, yeah, this isn't going to be as good as we've seen. So it's the quiet Vargas rule because you're not going to let this go, especially being on Atlanta. It's like a step up above Bryce Elder last year. Just think of it like that. And Randy Vasquez against the Cubs, 4.1 innings of 1 earned run. Sure, 6K is amazing. I'm so happy he was able to do this, but he wasn't efficient. It was 83 pitches for just 4.1 innings. I think that really should tell you things. He gets Rocky Road next, and that's fine in NL only, but I don't think in 12 teamers that we should be doing this. And Shota Imanaga, I'm an AGA over here. 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. 20 whiffs for a Gallows pole. 15 over 38 splitter whiffs. Kind of wild. His four-seamer wasn't as elevated as we have seen, but there is something to be said. I saw this conversation about high four-seamers versus low four-seamers. It was in the context of Yamamoto, where Yamamoto being a splitter guy, you need to throw low four-seamers to set that up. And if you look at Kevin Gausman, that's what he's done for ages. Even though he has a very flat delivery, he stays low. It's actually kind of interesting to me, and I wonder if Gausman could actually be better high and low. Maybe having something else that lands low and then the splitter underneath it. I don't know. But Imanaga going low and then getting 15 out of 38 splitter whiffs actually does make a little bit more sense, as there is a better tunneling ability for those bounced splitters if you do establish a low fastball. However, I think that we've seen so much success from Imanaga thus far doing that high four-seamer that I don't feel like it's worth it to risk the damage on that fastball if it goes lower, while it's been so effective upstairs, and it's not like the splitter has been bad otherwise. We have other guys to talk about, of course, from yesterday's games, and we're going to talk about tomorrow's streamers as well. We're going to talk about all of that after this break. Cutter Crawford against going to Atlanta here. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. much better than I expected, honestly. I thought Cutter Crawford might struggle a little bit here because he doesn't really have that overwhelming single pitch. But the thing is, four pitches earned at least four whiffs in this start. Four. That's amazing. And only one earned five. That was the cutter, of course, of his name. And he's the only guy in pitcher list that has an Easter egg specifically for him on his player page. Of course, you can go and find it. You can probably guess what it is in the repertoire section. This is a lovely outing, and I love to see 4 out of 10 splitter whiffs. That's really cool. That's a little extra bonus that we got in this one. Now, I do have to mention that Atlanta is not really hitting that well at the moment, but we're obviously still running with Cutter Crawford everywhere. Bailey Ober against the Mariners, 5 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. There's your Bailey special. Good to see it. And I'm sure you didn't get the quality start that you normally get with the Bailey special, but yeah, this is typical stuff. It was better four seamers upstairs, and nice to see it. Really good changeups also as well. Seth Lugo against the Brewers had a little bit of a careful Icarus, allowing his third and final run in the seventh inning as he had 200 runs in just six. But went 6.2 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. Ultimately, only 5 whiffs, 31% CSW. I think it's going to run out at some point. And if you want to sell high on Lugo, if someone feels like, oh my gosh, this is the breakout guy, great. I don't think that's the perception of Seth Lugo, though you're just going to keep running with it until it stops. Corbin Burns, ace is going to ace against the Nationals almost. 6.1 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 6 Ks, and got the loss? Hold on a second. This is not that good. This is just 6 strikeouts. That's all you got in the cost of 8 base runners and 6.1, which is like a 1.33 whip, and then like a 4.27 ERA, something like that. No. I'm SP1 to Zach Wheeler, okay? Get out of here. SP1, Zach Wheeler. Michael Soroka against the Rays, 5 innings of 300 runs. It's sliders mostly for Soroka right now, and I kind of want to, I don't know, I miss old Soroka. That was four-seamer and sinker command with changeups and sliders that worked, and changeup is really bad right now, and I just miss the old guy. Jose Buda was my stream pick of the day and got a win, and then everything else was bad, and I gave myself a streaming loss. It wasn't so bad. It was like 300 runs and 8 base runners and 3 Ks in 5 innings, but we really don't need to go for Buda anymore, and we can move on to anything else. So he probably will be off the list next week as he gets the Phillies. Quinn Priester had a really good game with his slider and curves in the previous outing. This one, 2 out of 29 whiffs between them with horrible command. The slider was nothing like the precision we've seen down angle upside, which is unfortunate because this was the game that he should be able to take advantage of against the Angels. Now I want Paul Skeens. Thank you very much, Pirates. I appreciate it. Colin Ray against the Royals, 4.2 innings, 400 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk in, 2 strikeouts. Yep, this is the floor that we don't like about Colin Ray. It's why that we're not really going for it. And I would not touch Colin Ray. Okay, cool. Emerson Hancock did not do well against the Twins. 4 innings of 400 runs and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? And that is going to end with Brian Wu returning. So Hancock, good to see ya. The second half of your movie was not very good. You have Dakota Hudson, Cole Story, bro, 4 earned runs in 3.2 innings. Edward Cabrera, 2 innings of 400 runs. So disappointed, but it was the Dodgers. We didn't really start this one. It was the bottom of questionable because there was some hope that his stuff would be good enough. But then he also left the start with bicep soreness, and you can absolutely drop him on your teams. I do not expect Cabrera to be pitching in his next game. Ross Stripling against the Rangers, 1.2 innings of 5 earned runs and 10 hits. Yeah, nope. I made a very bad joke inside the roundup. Go read it for that. Miles Michaelis against the Mets, 4 innings of 6 earned runs. Yes, do not trust Miles Michaelis. Justin Verlander against the Yankees got trounced. 0 over 46 four-seamer whiffs. Oh boy. The secondaries were over the plate, and the Yankees just demolished. Now, there were some home runs in this one that made it more expounded. But I really wouldn't say that Verlander is cooked now. Okay. I expect him to be much better against the Athletics. If it was dropped, I saw in chat that someone dropped Verlander, which you're all saying, what? Who did that? What league is that? I want to play in that league. No, you don't. You don't want to play in those leagues. But if you're in one of those, yeah, you pick up Verlander. Okay. You want good competition all the way through. Logan Allen against the Detroit Tigers, 2.1 innings of 700 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. This was PL Bot's stream pick of the day. I mean, that was the debate between Logan Allen and Jose Buda. We both lost. But this was a big one. It looked like it was going to be a solid outing, and then this just wasn't there. I don't think this was who Logan Allen is. This is his worst start of the year. Four-seamers were not upstairs. Sweepers and changeups were bad. Cutter was, it was too hittable. It was there. And I would say that you should still stream him against the White Sox. I know it sounds crazy. You're emotional because of this bad start. I don't think this is who Logan Allen is, but watch, he's hurt now and something like that, and that really affected him. I mean, we never really know. Sometimes when you have a really terrible day at the park, there is something affecting them. or it's just one of those days. Like, it's just like, ugh, I'm just not feeling it today. I woke up pretty whatever. And then, Tyon was saying last year that his best game was when he was sick and he didn't know if he was going to pitch. And all of a sudden he destroyed it, right? Like, this is what happens. They're humans. Crazy, I know. If he's pitching against the White Sox, I think you're cool to do that still. That is Logan Allen, not the one on the Diamondbacks, which messes everything up. Kenta Maeda against the Guardians, 2 innings of 7 earned runs. Yep, he is a cherry bomb. What do you know? After 2 good starts, maybe you trust this one. Nope. No Kwan, doesn't matter. Do not start Kenta Maeda, guys. It's just going to drive you nuts. And someone else that has done this in the past is Jose Barrios, who, if you listen to the Fireside Chat today, I trust me here, Spore and I recorded that at about 1 p.m., Eastern time on Tuesday before this game, and I made my sit of the week this game against the Phillies, and I'm not happy about it because I wanted to go like 0 for 30 picking the sit of the week in that podcast. If you don't know, Spore and I, we talk about various topics, and then we always end the episode with our 4 different games where we're battling each other throughout the year. It's a pretty close score of streamers and sits and stars and one-on-one matchup. It's really fun. My sit of the week was as Barrios start against the Phillies, 3.2 innings, 8 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. Oh boy. And really the things from the previous start came out here. This curveball was just so hittable. And it was more hittable in the previous one. It wasn't the precision that we had seen in previous starts. Down in glove side, it came more into the zone. And this one was just even more so. It's what we normally see from Barrios, is we see these ebbs and flows of he's in rhythm, he's locked in, he's good, and then he gets out of it, and it's sticks around for a little bit. It's like 3-4 starts, and then he comes back, and it's just the pendulum keeps swinging back and forth. That's why he's a great undulator. Unfortunately, we're in that right now, and now he gets the Orioles, and I would not start him there. Looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. Well, as I told you before, you have Jack Leiter and Michael Lorenzen going today, so make sure that both are in your lineup. I don't know. If you want to go with Jack Leiter, I am in the Legacy League, you don't have to, is my point. It's at Oakland. It should be better. It's a fun spec ad, but also, just kind of wait and see a little bit. I think that Leiter is going to step in for Eovaldi's IL stint, so that might be the start of something fun for Jack Leiter. So consider that one for today because it couldn't carry over for the future. And then he would get the Guardians next, which, you know, let's see how he does today. See if we feel good about that or not. Tomorrow's starting pitchers, we have Pablo Lopez and Logan Gilbert going against each other. That is the Mariners and at Minnesota, of course. That's so fun. Watch that game. Renal Blanco against the Yankees is an auto start as well. I know you might have some trepidation because the Yankees and Yankee Stadium and stuff, but Blanco's done really well. I like where he's at. I think I'm going to do that if I have him on my teams. Probably start is Hunter Green hosting the Diamondbacks in Sin City. Green's fastball is as good as I've seen it right now. Ben Lively is a stream pick of the day against the White Sox. His 4-seamers and sinkers upstairs are still working. Even though it was a little bit worse last week, it still worked. So I think you can roll with that one. And Marcus Stroman against the Astros opposite Blanco is a probable start for me because he generally does well, has a good enough floor with the sinkers low, and as long as he has one secondary working, which he generally does, last 2 starts not so much, Marcus Stroman should be able to come through there. Questionable start tier, you have Reed Demers versus Michael Wacha. Take your pick there. I am going to ultimately favor Wacha over Detmers, with Keaton Wynn also above both of those in cores. Thing is, Wynn didn't do well last time, but it was bad weather, but this is Coors. I don't really love his overall stuff anyway, but yeah, I understand if you have Wynn, you're probably going to do this. Michael Wacha, his command has been terrible, but it is the Angels, so good luck. And Reed Detmers' command has just been all over the place the past couple starts. It's the biggest fear about him. Eric Fetty, speaking of bad command, horrible game last time. Same with Tobias Myers. Both of those guys looked good in their previous 2 starts, and Fetty gets the Guardians, Tobias Myers gets the Cardinals. I trust Fetty a little bit more with 20 strikeouts across those 2 good starts. But it is the Guardians, while Myers, he's had 2 showcases of a really good fastball, 1 really bad day of command, and this is the Cardinals, which might be an easy landing. You have the do not start tier of Lance Lynn, don't start him. Cal Quantrill just had an amazing outing, but come on, that was a birthday party that happens once a year and we celebrate. This is hosting the Giants in Coors, no thank you. And Slade Sassone has actually had some moments, but it is in Cincinnati, and I feel like Lance Lynn and Cal Quantrill against easier matchups, I think, just make more sense. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.